Welcome back to the Student of the Game. I'm Kyle, the Student of the Game. To my right here with me is Chris, and we are short of Weasel today because he's sick in bed with a fever. Yes, that's right, there's that Weasel fever going around or whatever. Oh, the ladies, no. Anyways, so I'm going to go ahead and start off and do probably the toughest and yet also the most fun part of the preseason, the playoff prediction. These are based out of our division winners and records that we selected in the previous 8 shows. See, one for each division, how that works. It's very nice. No. But, and then right now for this episode, we're going to be going through, starting off with our NFC selections. On Liz's behalf, I'll be reading his picks as well. So let's go ahead and do that first. For the NFC, Weasel, being the typical homer, has the Vikings leading off, the Saints at number 2, Cowboys number 3, and the 49ers number 4. Awesome. And then the Packers at number 5, outside looking in for the wild card, along with the Giants. Which is very funny because I believe I have almost, I have the same teams, but they're not ranked the same because I'm not a Minnesota homer. So,
let me go. And ahead. I pretty much have the same teams except for I took out my Giants and put in Atlanta.
There you go. See, true, unbiased, non-objective, impartial fanhood right there. Instead of picking your team to be the number one seed. Anyways, his first round matchup then would be the, if I can read this right, if I could, would be the
Giants versus the Cowboys.
Yeah, the Giants versus the Cowboys there, where he has the Cowboys moving on, and he has the Packers eliminating the 49ers. Then the Packers, being the lowest seed remaining, face off against the Vikings, and he has the Vikings winning. Again, a homer.
Shocker.
Yeah, right. And then the Cowboys are rematching against the Saints. He has the Saints. Oh, really? Can this get any more storybooks? So you know what this means, right? He's got
the Saints and the
playing
Vikings.
Against the Vikings again, and the Vikings win this time. Well, yeah, isn't that nice? And he has the Vikings going to the Super Bowl. Really, the questions I would be asking him would be, do you really think Brett Favre could last that long all the way through? I mean, the vibe on his playing this year is he's not really doing it so much for him as his teammates, any of that. I mean, not to preach too much, but I can't see making it an entire season at the highest possible level, at arguably the hardest possible position, and then pulling a championship out of it when you're not there for your own purposes. But anyway.
Well, that's why I named my fantasy team out by week 6.
That's right, after Brett Favre. And we gonna, yeah, probably we're gonna try to post the logo up somewhere on here too, so they can see it. It's Favre's jersey just wrecked all the just hell and gone. It's kind of funny. See if I can get that logo for you, put it on the site. Anyways, Chris, why don't you tell them what you have for your NFC crew?
Okay, well, I got New Orleans as seeded first, Green Bay second, Dallas winning the NFC East, and San Francisco fourth. And then the two wild cards would go to Minnesota, and then sixth place would be Atlanta.
Now, do you have a couple teams with the same record there, or you kind of got solved by tiebreaks?
I got Atlanta and the Giants were, I both had them at 9-7 through the season. I originally, in one of the other shows, I had Minnesota 8-8, but that was before Favre came back. So that's another 2 games winning now that I just threw in there. So with him there, even though I think he will be out by week 6, at least it'll be 6 wins they'll have so far, so they might be able to squander off 4 more.
So they'll let's say they win their first 6 games, you think they'll be able to go 4 out of the last 10 and limp into the playoffs?
Right.
In true Viking style. All right.
All right. And then, but also had Dallas and Minnesota 10-6, but, you know, Green Bay as 11-5 team would be seeded higher than Minnesota.
Right. Okay.
So the first round, Minnesota versus San Francisco. I have Minnesota moving on. And Dallas versus Atlanta, and Dallas would move on.
If Weasel gets to be a homer, I get to be a homer too. We all remember the only reason why the Vikings beat the 49ers last year was on the strength of some big bunch of lucky bulls that I still don't believe I saw. And the Niners giving up 6 plays of 40 yards or greater on defense, 0 for 10 on first downs. Yes, I'm still better. Carry on.
All right, so then in the next round, Dallas, since they were seeded third, they play against Green Bay. And I'd have Green Bay moving on. And then rematch of the NFC Championship last year, Minnesota-New Orleans. Mm-hmm. And I do have Minnesota do beating New Orleans this time to make it an NFC North Conference Championship between Minnesota and Green Bay. And I have Green Bay moving on to the Super Bowl.
See, the Packers going to the Super Bowl. Yes. That's an interesting one. I'll get to that in a minute. But the part that I understand the Minnesota getting revenge concept. I think that goes away after the season opener. I think the Vikings will win the season opener. I've said it already on the air here that the Vikings will win the opening game. I don't know if they'll win it soundly, but they'll definitely win. And see, at that point, that'll kind of even it up because the season opener. Though it doesn't mean as much in terms of the schedule and the placement of going to the championship and all of that, it's still a big deal in the minds of all the players. And I mean, it's the thing that you open the season with. It's what's freshest on your mind, all that. So, but I mean, I'm not here to tell you that it won't happen in the playoffs, but you know, it's not a lock. Like, well, at least our Homer thinks it's possible. I don't know. Be interesting to see.
I'm just thinking if Favre's still healthy back then, Minnesota might be just fighting for a little more than his last run.
Well, if you he's know, out by week six, how can you still have him winning?
I know, but I'm just saying if he does, you never know with playoffs. You might be out by week six and watch him come back to the playoffs.
Oh, he'll be able to recover just in time for playoffs. That would make sense. He'd be looking at the regular season like it was training camp all over again.
Right.
Looking to skip the regular season. I mean, heck, there's basketball players that do it. Why not?
He'll have an ankle injury out for 8 weeks and then come back in the playoffs. To play the last two season games for the Vikings, just get the rust back off, and then coast them through the playoffs.
That's just crazy enough to be possible. Right, so... Okay, well, with that, I'll have to try to compete with that. For me, I have the Cowboys as the top seed, the Saints at number two, the Packers at number three, because they will win the division for the NFC North, and the Niners in the West, because, well, the NFC West is that bad. The Giants are my fifth seed, and the Vikings as well will make the playoffs on my list as the final seed in the NFC. My opening rounds, the 49ers facing off against the Giants, as well as the Packers facing off against the Vikings. Both lower seeds will be crushed, which will lead the Giants and Packers. Excuse me, I got that backwards. The Vikings will lose as lower seed in their part, but the Niners will be defeated by the Giants, who were the fifth seed over the fourth. So the Giants move on to play the... I got that backwards there.
Yeah,
I just realized I got my... No, I don't.
No, you got it right.
Yeah, I do have it right. Good, okay. The Cowboys will play against the Giants. That's the hardest game to call pretty much on any docket anywhere outside of maybe Jets-Dolphins, which we'll get to that later in the AFC. But in the NFC, when you see Giants-Cowboys on the schedule right now in this day and age, I believe that's the hardest game to pick a winner in. It could have arguably been Cowboys-Eagles at one point, but now that McNabb's moved, that those physics are a little different. But Cowboys-Giants, I mulled over this for a bit. I eventually had the Cowboys winning, mostly because of home field. That's a beautiful stadium they got, too. Breaking 100,000 regularly at their games. And then I got the Saints and the Packers. The Packers will beat the Saints. On the strength of being able to bait Darren Sharper to make a mistake. So it'll be your Cowboys-Packers in the NFC Championship game, and I have the Cowboys prevailing on the strength of being able to overpower the Packers' defense. So
you got faith in Tony Romo.
I'll tell you, it's not so much that I got faith in Tony Romo as I got faith in his support staff in the form of that defense and that O-line and that running game. You know, Tony Romo just only has to kind of fake it. And he's been steadily improving over the past couple of years. And, I mean, there's been showing of him actually practicing like he cares a lot more of late, too, which, you know, says a lot, too. It's the same reason why there's a lot of hype that Michael the Burner Turner is going to do better in Atlanta, even though Atlanta won't make the playoffs by my docket. It's I don't know that Romo's in better shape or working out harder in that, but his mind is a lot more in it. I mean, he doesn't have some dumb blonde, you know. Not that I thought... The press made it too big a deal of the whole Jessica Simpson thing, but now the press isn't bothering him about it anymore because it's old news. So that's one less thing for him to worry about, right? So anyways, we got enough time. Let's go ahead and jump right into our AFC picks, and I'll go ahead and throw out Weasel's first. Now, Weasel was wanting to make a very clear point that he can't be accused of being the homer for his second team. That statement in itself is all sorts of fail. But he can't be accused of being a homer for his second team because the Steelers didn't make the playoffs. I was also forced to remind him that it took two major players leaving the roster in the offseason for at least a larger portion of the season, if not the whole season, like in the case of Santonio Holmes, for him to do that. In any case, his listing is he has the 12s, the Jets as the top seed at 12-4, which I just can't picture. The Colts at number 2, the Bengals at number 3, and the Chargers at number 4 on the strength of their week schedule. He has the Patriots making the playoffs. That boggles my mind. Dolphin fans, I'm thinking about posting Weasel's email for the Dolphin fans to heckle him. Because I still remember when we did the NFC East or AFC East show, how he has the Dolphins winning like 9 or 8 or 9 games, something ridiculously low like that. And then he has the Texans at the number 6 spot, which is a lot more faith than I can do. I mean, I think I have the Texans going 10-6, .. But I think they're going to lose on the tie breaks. Anyways, all that aside. So, as if it wasn't pretentious enough for him to have the Texans in the playoffs, he has them beating his third seed, the Bengals, in the first round of the playoffs. Okay. he has the Chargers beating the Patriots. That's plausible, but don't put too much faith in Philip the Fraud Rivers, but I digress. Then he has the Jets playing against the Texans, has the Jets winning. If the Jets were actually the number one seed, that makes a lot of sense. And he has the Colts beating the Chargers. That's going to be a good game simply because the Colts always seem to struggle against the Chargers. It's very strange. He has the Jets coming out of the AFC, and we'll do Super Bowl picks last. So what do you have for the AFC, Chris?
For the AFC, I got Indianapolis seeded first with a 13-3 record.
Okay.
San Diego second, Cincinnati third, and I have the Jets fourth. And the Jets' record is 10-6. I actually have 3 teams that are 10-6.
Right.
Which include the Dolphins, but they'll win over a tiebreak over the Dolphins. I have the Dolphins seeded fifth, and I got Baltimore as a 6th seed.
The tiebreak being the division record?
Well, the division records are both, they're the same straight up. I think they'll have to go down way out.
Like games.
Yeah. They have to go way out against who was where, because I had them dead, middle, everything. Same win, same division record. I had them both at 4-2 in the division.
Okay. But then, like, it'd have to come down to, like, conference record, or they did, like, the Dolphins did worse in, like, games. Because every division plays a division, that kind of thing.
All right, okay. So that's good. They have to go far out to figure out who's going to be the top seed.
Yeah, that's at least 3 steps deep
right. In
the tiebreak.
And so the Jets will be above them on that. So in the first round, the Jets would play against the Dolphins. The Jets would have home field advantage.
Wouldn't that be, like, that's a retarded game right there. Jets-Dolphins in the first round of the playoffs? Man, wow. And then that would be in Miami, too.
No, that'd be in New York. The Jets are the higher seed.
They're the 4th, not 6th. Sorry, I got that mixed up. Right.
And then I'd have another division showdown would be Cincinnati-Baltimore in my other game.
Okay.
And I'd...
Those are awesome games. I'm sorry.
I got Baltimore beating Cincinnati.
Okay.
And I got the Jets beating the Dolphins.
Okay, so Rex Ryan is going to face his old team in that next round, or is that...
Not yet. Okay. Not yet. Because the Jets would have to go against San Diego in the next round.
Oh, they were right.
Since they were the higher seed, they were 4th, mm-hmm. Baltimore 6th, so Baltimore would have to go against Indianapolis.
Okay.
I think by that time, Baltimore's secondary would be healthy. You'll have Reed back there for the playoffs. Indianapolis is only going to be passed. They're not going to be able to run against them. I think Baltimore come out over Indianapolis, and I got the Jets over San Diego.
Okay. And yeah, the Ravens beating the Colts isn't far-fetched, because the playoff game last year was in the second round. That game came down to a few plays that were costly mistakes for the Ravens. Like, the example I have is Ed Reed picked off a pass, and he was taking it back. I mean, he didn't get it for a touchdown, but he took it back quite a few distance of yards. I think they might have already been in a field goal range. And then Dallas Clark hits Reed to make him fumble the ball back, and the Colts recover. Come on.
Right.
You know, that's a huge turnaround play. I mean, it's not like, you know, 100-yard interception in the Super Bowl return big, but that's a game changer, without question.
Right. And that's how I have Baltimore beating them this year. Just a little revenge over it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Motivation. I mean, that's a team that gets fueled, period. I mean, Ray Lewis is a great motivator stuff aside. I mean, that's a team that definitely is a conduit for feeding off a hype. So
the championship, I'd have Rex Ryan competing
facing his old
facing
team.
His old team.
Okay, so I did have that right.
Yeah, you had that right. Just
I just didn't know it yet.
Right. And I got the Jets beating Baltimore in the AFC Championship, moving on.
Okay, so all right, so the Jets are coming out of both viewers and Weasel's brackets. Okay. My AFC looks very similar to yours at the number one spot, save I have the Colts winning 14 games. That still feels wrong, but that's what I have. So the Colts are at the top seed. The Chargers are number two because their schedule's so bad. The Ravens and Dolphins are your 3 and 4 winning their divisions, but throughout the season, of course, both divisions were beating the bloody heck out of each other, so that's why they're lower seeded. Than the Jets and Chargers, or excuse me, the Colts and Chargers anyway. Now I have 3 10-6 teams remaining. Let me make sure I didn't write it down wrong. No, I didn't. Good. Because writing things down wrong sucks. I had 3 10-6 teams in me, all battling for the sixth spot. The fifth and sixth spot, I should say. Three teams, two spots. And the odd man out was the Texans. The Texans weren't able to make the playoffs on the strength of tiebreak. So I got the Bengals as the fifth seed, the Jets as the sixth. Now, you have Rex Ryan facing his old team in the AFC Championship. I have it in the first wild card game. One thing we have in common, Rex Ryan prevails on both our brackets. And I have the Bengals beating the Dolphins, mostly on the strength of being unable to stop the run. What I see going into that game is, oh, Vontae Davis and Sean Smith versus Gio and Ocho Cinco. Oh, hype, 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 hype. And then the Bengals would just run the ball all over the Dolphins. You know, I think we addressed the Dolphins being weak against the run in the show, in the AFC East show. So that's just more of that song and dance. Which brings me to my second round, the Colts and the Jets versus the Chargers and the Bengals. The Chargers will have no hope whatsoever, only getting this far because their division's bad. I think the Bengals win and win big, hoping to meet the Jets in the AFC Championship, but they won't because the Colts will prevail. Dwight Freeney, Robert Mathis will get in franchise's head, this being his first, I don't want to say legitimate, but his first playoff game this deep where he's the favorite. Well, possibly the favorite. I don't know. I mean, yeah, the Colts would be seeded higher, but it's a little different situation. He's not a rookie anymore, you know, all of that. Nonetheless, I see Sanchez getting rattled out of the victory in that game. The Colts and Bengals is your AFC Championship. A whole lot of high-flying going all around. The Colts will win on the strength of a slightly better defense, and you'll see the Colts in the AFC as the AFC representative for the Super Bowl. So, that leaves us for our respective Super Bowl. Weasel, as the homer, has the Vikings against the Jets. Finally did one thing that slightly could possibly be construed as non-homerish. He has the Jets winning. I think what he sees is either Calvin Pace or Chris Jenkins or Bart Scott playing the role of Bobby McCray last year when he just hit the heck out of Favre several times. One of them, or all of them, will play a part into beating Favre senseless in the Super Bowl to where the Jets will prevail. Chris, Super Bowl, what do you got?
Super Bowl, I got Green Bay and I got the Jets. And I just think Green Bay has a team this year. I think they're going to win it.
So you,
I get the Jets losing in the Super Bowl.
So you were homer to an extent, like Weasel, and then you went non-homer. You got the Packers. You got the Packers being the beating the Jets.
Yes.
I guess. See, that's interesting. Because I have. I mean, last year the Packers line was bad because they were all injured. I think they were down to their third stringer at right tackle at one point.
They're back. Their secondary's back.
Right.
They're going to be stronger. I mean,
they got the good tight ends we were talking about. It's
right.
It's not far-fetched. It's just hard for me to place it, you know? But yeah, that could be. I mean, what do I know? I had the Packers in the NFC Championship game. I'm only one game off from what you got, right? So for my Super Bowl, I have the Colts and the Cowboys. I could go to X's and O's and all that, but I think it'll come down to Peyton Manning remembering how he ended the previous Super Bowl, doing a little extra research, a little extra this, a little extra that, to overcome the Cowboys, who will have overcome a milestone or two actually getting to the Super Bowl, but still won't have quite enough to win it. The inconsistency will haunt them. Finally, at the last step, and the Colts will be my Super Bowl pick for this year. So it's just Jets, Colts. You two have the same team. We all have the AFC winning. And that, friends, marks your predictions for this season. Feel free to weigh in your feelings on our picks. Email us at thesotg@gmail.com, or you can follow us on Twitter, thesotg. But before we wrap up, want to get a little fantasy focus in. Chris recently had his draft for his team at work, and I always go with him to help him out. Buddy Donnie has, they kind of run the team together, and then, you know, I bring in my insight as the student of the game and all that. But very interesting thing transpired. Now, Vincent Jackson is currently in contract talks, rather that as a holdout, and he dropped all the way to the 15th round out of 16. And I know that because Chris and I was talking to Chris about picking him up in round 15, which he eventually did. So the question I kind of want to pose to the public, and I want a lot of emails on this if we can manage it, thesotg@gmail.com. Vincent Jackson in contract holdout at pick 15. Is that a good move? Or should he have been picked up sooner? Should he have been waited to be claimed off waivers once more was known? Any of that. So, I mean, I think it's pretty obvious. What would you normally expect? Like, I think we were talking about Victor Cruz or a kicker or a second defense or something at first, right?
Right. Well, we already had our second defense. So,
okay.
We were just looking somewhere. We had the positions. I mean, it's 15th round. You take chances. I mean, you have that. Another option would have been even taking Sidney Rice, which he never even got drafted because he's out 8 weeks.
Right.
So no one even drafted him yet, and that would have been a good one to pick up too, because at least later on in the season, you might have him there and you can get him now. But Vincent Jackson, I think, will be a good pick if someone doesn't have him, if he's still there on like 15th or 16th round, where you get your Mr. Irrelevant because you already got your starters.
So there you go. So anybody who wants to weigh in on that fantasy-wise, we'll certainly talk about your responses on the show next week. Well, not next week, but when we have our first joy for the regular season for the SOTG.
Week one.
Good times, man. I'm glad to be rid of baseball, man. It makes me happy.
Yeah, college football season starts this
week. College football as well, that's right. So anyways, let week one of college football hold you over until our first episode of the 2010 season. Till then, I'm Kyle for Chris and Weasel via remote. Take care.